So I'm here with Sarah Tomlinson. And Sarah, what would you call yourself? Do you have a title?
Well, I think I've coined a title, Yantrika. There's a saying for tantrics that they're called tantrikas. So I figured somebody who works with yantras is probably a yantrika.
Yantrika, I like that. It's very rare what you do, isn't it? I don't think yantra is something that's really hit the popular yoga market yet.
Yeah, it's true. It's kind of like there's yoga, then there's mantras, right? Mantras and chanting only came into the yoga world a few years ago in such popularity, right, with Krishna Das and things like that. So I feel like it's on the heels of mantras, you know? And it's funny because yantras come from mantras, so it's interesting.
Okay, so I want you to explain more about that. What exactly is a yantra? What makes a yantra?
Well, you may have seen yantras around. They're a series of geometric shapes contained within a square form. And they actually come from mantras. They're said to be visual forms of a sound vibration. So there's one yantra for every mantra.
So when you're chanting a mantra, especially, I guess you mean a seed mantra?
It could be either. It could be a whole long mantra or it could be a seed sound. Yes, preferably you'd be looking at the corresponding yantra. If you do both, it balances the left and right hemispheres of your brain.
Wow, that's incredible. So how do you know which yantra goes with which mantra?
Well, that's when you need a teacher, I think, or a good book. Any book on yantras is going to have corresponding mantras with it.
So you get the power from looking at the yantra, but I know you also teach people how to create their own yantras.
Yeah, you can work with them in two ways. I guess they're visual meditations. And one is a meditation that's more contemplation, where you're looking at the yantra. You're looking at the center of the yantra, and you're relating to the energy in the yantra. And it's a peaceful meditation with your eyes open, right? So that's different to a meditation where you have your eyes closed. It's somewhat active. You're engaging the sense of sight, right? It's a way of purifying the sense of sight. So it's to do with working with the senses. And the other way you could work with it is by making it yourself. And then there's more of an activity, right? It's a mindful activity. So the activity of drawing, breathing, maybe coloring, painting, all focused around the energy or meaning of that specific yantra. Because every yantra has its own meaning and quality. So you may be needing something. Usually you're drawn to the one you need. Right? There's a few different ways that we choose which yantra to work with. And the easiest way is just to see a selection of yantras and you just go with the one you're drawn to. You know, do you like the red one? Do you like the grouping of triangles? Do you like the circles? Which one is calling you? Usually that's the one that embodies the quality that you need to work with at the moment. And then making it, you infuse the process of making it with your intention. You know, why are you making it? And so it kind of comes to life in this, crystallized in this form, which you then go ahead and do some seated meditation with. So it's like a two-part process.
Wow, that's beautiful. And how do the colors figure in? Do each yantra have specific colors, or can you do the same yantra with different colors?
There are some universal yantras that seem like the colors could be anything, but mostly the yantras do have specific colors. It's almost like the vibration of the sound quality, it gives colors and it gives shapes. So it was said in the beginning there were these rishis, right? Rishis are celestial beings, kind of like saints, but a little even more celestial. They were said to have one foot in the earth realms and one foot in the celestial realms. So they gave us these teachings, and they gave the shapes and the colors. Like, for example, there are planetary mantras and yantras, right? So one that we can all relate to would be something like Mars. And Mars is the passionate, dynamic planet of like war, passion, focus, direction. So there's this red triangle and it's upward pointing, like for focus. And so it's kind of interesting. It has that energy. It has that shape. And even the planet Mars is kind of reddish, right? Yeah. So that one's like an easy one to kind of talk about because it has this red quality. But most of them have a very specific color palette that you use. And it's to do with the relationship of either the planet or the deity. And Yantras are always relating to either a planet or a deity, and sometimes you can see the connection. So there's another one, a good example would be Saturn. Saturn is the planet, and its color is blue-black. And the deity that's connected to Saturn is Kali, or some aspect of Kali. So this mother goddess is like Kali. So oftentimes when we're coloring Kali, we would be using a blue-black palette. So there's some planetary influence, to the color palette. So it is kind of interesting because some of them have a similar shapes, but it's the colors that differentiate them. Others are very unique in their configuration of shapes.
It sounds quite complicated. You have the mantra it's connected to, the planet, the deity. That's like amazing. There are a lot of different parts. I could see why you would need a teacher.
Yeah, it's helpful to have a teacher, and then there are teachings, there are teachings. Once you start exploring this world, there is quite a world of yantras out there. I feel like we're just kind of, skimming the surface here.
Do the yantras relate to your chakras as well? I know certain mantras do.
Well, they can. They're not usually so specific. It's more subjective. Some people might say that Mars or Durga or, relates to the first chakra, or Venus or the moon relates more to the heart. Some might say that some deities are connected to chakras, right? Like Saraswati might be the fifth chakra expression. So I think it's a little more subjective. There are bija mantras, and you sometimes see chakra pictures with petals on them, but those are actually more artistic representations of chakras. They're not actually ancient yantras usually.
Oh, that's good to know. With all this information out there, it is good to have some perspective on that, right? What is suggested and what is really like traditionally, linked in some kind of real root tradition. So I want to ask you a little bit more about the planets because you did a reading on me and you suggested a yantra for me. So this is a whole nother aspect of working with yantra that I didn't know about. I didn't know you did. So tell me a little bit about it. How did you come to create my reading and suggest the yantra you did, which was the moon yantra?
Yes. So one way that we use yantras and mantras, and this is more specifically planetary. There's an ancient system of astrology. It's based on a Jain system of astrology where we look at the planets in the different areas of your life. And so you get a kind of Ayurvedic life reading, right? And this is one way I determine which yantras are going to be good for someone. So maybe you have a question, and then I draw up this chart. It's like an ancient kind of astrological chart. And then based on your question, it's always based on questions. Very interesting. It's like, it's no point in me just telling you something because you might not be interested, right? You're not going to do the thing if you're not ready to hear what I have to say, right? So you're going to be ready to hear what I have to say based on your question. So this is one thing I really learned over the years of counseling, like wait for the questions. So I waited for your question and to see what was going on. And it seemed like your questions were about feeling good, about moving forward in the way you were working, right? And being valued and having the work valued in society so that it could be shared, distributed, right? So you could really share the teachings that you're doing so beautifully, right? And the planet you had for your Dharma is a very specific part of this reading we look at, which is to do with your life purpose. You had the moon there. So I felt like, I think even those phases, you were in the moon phase. And so for now, to really harness that energy of the moon and to work with the cycles and the phases, like the new moon, the full moon, and to really feel your life purpose, to feel what you're here to be doing, if you put that moon yantra in your environment, it's going to purify not only your external environment, right, the one you're living in or working in, but also your inner emotional environment. So just like a mantra really affects your vibratory body, right? Your chakras, your nadis, it really purifies you from the inside. So in the same way, putting that yantra there is going to just somewhat purify and shake up the energy within you to do with your emotions and your dharma. So it's kind of it's like an empowerment symbol, right? You put it there to remind you who you are. They're very primal images. Sacred geometry accesses a part of you that's beyond language, right? Just like asana does, just like mantra does, but beyond the part of the brain that's thinking about it, like thinking, doubting, am I this? Am I good enough? Can I really do it? Does anybody really care if I'm teaching or not? You know, all these like things, right? It speaks to the part of you that knows who you are. And there's just something about the primal nature of symbols that speaks to you in that way. So that's how I determined it with you, right? Now, it could be different if you came to a workshop and you just had never done a reading and you just looked at the answers, which one am I drawn to? It's nice to make a yantra from scratch. It's nice also just to work with it and to talk about it with somebody. I like these readings. The readings are a nice way to see how all the different symbols and shapes is kind of taking place in your life, which one you might be drawn to, which one might be helpful. And it's a tool because you can have a counseling session and at the end you can be, okay, that was great, but now I've got to get back to my life. You know, it's nice to have a symbol to kind of carry through the energy and to really strengthen that area of your life.
The reading was incredible. I mean, I told you this already, but I had no idea that you did that or that aspect of working with Yantra, and I was blown away by how much you were able to tell me about myself. And it was more of, it wasn't like one of these readings. I want to say this so people are listening, like, you know, what is my future, or what you think it's gonna be like when you go to like a palm reader or something. It, to me, it was more of a sort of an affirmation of things that I know about myself to be true. And sort of hearing someone say that out loud and affirm it, it really helped me get to the next level of like being okay with and owning who I am, as it's like this truth that's, you know, written in the planets. And so go with it, right?
Yeah, you're unique, right? So to have that affirmed is like, okay, I don't have to keep questioning it, second guessing it. I'm not that person over there. I'm me, you know? And so it lets you celebrate you. Now it's funny because I think of the yantras as empowerment symbols, but I guess just from what you're saying, the reading is a little bit of an empowerment reading in that way, right? You settle into you, and that's like that takes the least effort, right? It takes a lot of effort to be somebody else. Isn't that something from the Gita? Like, do your own job, you know, don't do somebody else's job, you know, be you. So it's hard to be you, really, but you have to listen, and all these practices get all the other voices of who you're not out of the way a little bit, right? So you can hear clearly. So yeah, reading like this is just kind of brightening your sense of yourself.
Yeah, it definitely did that for me. I think there is this balance between, you know, trying to be our best self and then also being who we are. So sometimes it gets confusing as we try to be what we think a better version would be. Maybe it's not, you know. So I don't know. Those are some ideas that I think about. And definitely since the reading, I've seen a real shift. I really have. And you went into all different aspects. You know, you did the career and we talked a little bit about relationship. We talked about all different things. And
And spiritual practice.
one question that I had that actually, because I've been talking about you to everyone since then, I really found it powerful. That someone had asked me and I wanted to ask you was that a chart reading like a sort of permanent fixture, or will the planets move into a different space during a different phase in my life? And so therefore, should we have multiple readings?
Well, the basic information I gave you always stays the same because we have these archetypes, these eight archetypes when we're born, right? It's based on birth time. So that is like the primary tendencies. For example, your moon is always going to be in that place, right? Your spiritual path is always going to be the place it is. Your physical health is always going to be governed by that thing. However, there are cycles that the planets go in as in which is going to be the most dominant for you at one time. So I'm sitting here, I can also see your chart, and you are in that moon phase, which is interesting, right? Because you were talking about all the moon things, and you have your moon yantra. So the phases will change, and depending on the planet, some phases change really slowly. You know, it could be 10, 20 years. Some could change every 2 or 3 years. So oftentimes, I don't really do follow-up readings to see how much the planets are changing. It's more to do with how are you processing the information and what's going on with you now, and it's more like an ongoing counseling session with this information.
Yeah, you left me with some just some strong ideas to take with me daily, you know, some questions to ask myself in all situations during the day. Really like a counselor.
Yeah, it's very interesting. It's just a different kind of counseling and feeling like you've been heard. You didn't have to have 20 years of therapy to get to that point, right? So now that you feel like you've been heard in this way, sometimes you just might want to check in and say, this is going on. You know, I'm having stress here. This is going well. You know, how can I manage this period of stress, you know, given my archetypes, right? And so usually we'll look at the whole eight areas again, and we'll just use the, usually we use the stronger qualities to help lift up the energy in the area that's stressed. So for example, if you're stressed out, you know, it's about your health, maybe we'll focus on your spiritual life a little bit, and that'll help you get a new relationship with your health. Or if you're stressed out with your work, maybe we'll develop the area of relationships and fun to energize the area at work. So it depends, actually, it depends, right? We don't know. So everybody's different, but it's a creative way of seeing the whole being to really help and lift up the area that feels challenged at that moment. Which is usually more to do with conditioning and lifestyle than honestly any kind of crystal ball I'm looking at, right? So that's why it's the question, again, the thing of questions. I have to hear what your question is to see, you know, how this can be helpful. And it's very nourishing, and it feels nourishing on all of these other levels, these subtle levels.
Yeah, sorry, you are definitely really, really good at what you do, and it feels very natural the way you worked with me, the way you encouraged me to ask questions, and I don't even know what to call it. You're extremely in tune, and I appreciated getting to work with you. I know we'll work together again. It was unlike anything I've seen.
I
Really
think there's
was.
something about just working with the yantras over all these years. I have painted these yantras for so many years, like over 20 years, I've been painting and painting and painting. I feel like they've given me some understanding about these archetypes in a way that is just like I'm sort of in tune with them now. Almost like if I don't think too hard about it, you know, I have a sense of it. So that's also given me a lot of confidence about working with the yantras, you know? I feel
Yeah.
like they've just awoken some cosmic intelligence. It's not really me, you know, there's just something that comes when I'm working with people. So we were thinking, so it's nice to have ways to work with yantras at home. I'm working on this card deck at the moment, and I'm doing that so that people can have yantras in their home, right? It's going to be like a slightly large playing deck of cards. And so every day you could choose one and put it out like a little focal point for your meditation. And then just by looking at it, you start to learn about the qualities of it. There's a few words about each one, but it's more about just sitting with the yantras. You know, you'll learn about the qualities about yourself and about the yantras through looking at them. So that's one thing I'm working on, which probably your readers, listeners will be really interested in, because now we're talking about these yantras, people probably want to have a look at them. And the other thing is I'm working on a coloring book so that also you can do the doing the coloring, and you learn about all the meanings of all the different yantras when you go through each one in the coloring book. And then you were asking me earlier, before this, about how could people make their own yantra? And you can take workshops. You know, there are a few people around who had the same teacher as I did, Harish Johari, right? He was from India, but he traveled a lot in Europe and America. So he did teach people the method of, it's kind of like a step-by-step method for drawing yantras. It's a very beautiful process, very quieting process, the just the making. And so you could look out for a yantra workshop. I teach them. And also I have a book. I have a book on how to make yantras.
Oh,
So
what's the book? Tell
the book, yeah, the
us.
book plug is called Nine Designs for Inner Peace.
Oh, and you know I have that book.
Oh, you have it, yes.
Yes.
I'll sign it next time I see you.
Yes.
Yeah. So that's a great book because it's about the nine planets, right? So just by doing each of the ones in the book, you feel like you've balanced your, you know, in a cosmos.
And they said nine planets, and it was. Is it nine elements also that you look at?
Well, there's eight areas because two of the
Eight.
planets act as a pair. Rahu and Ketu are a pair.
Ah.
So that becomes eight groups.
Can you tell us those eight?
The other planets?
The eight elements that you look into when you do the
Ah,
reading.
oh, I see. Well, there's two things. It's sort of like you pair up the planets and the eight areas of life. So were you asking me about the eight areas of life?
Yes.
Yeah. So there's the spiritual nature. That's the main thing you look at, right? That influences everything. Are you going to, you know, what's your spiritual practice going to be, right? Is it going to be physical? Is it going to be silent? Is it going to be reading? Is it going to be drawing? Is it going to be being an adventurer, a rebel? Then there's your desire nature. That's like a stepping stone on your spiritual path. Then there's the relationship area. How do you relate to the world? And also, how do you relate with dating, right? Dating, and also, how do you relate at work? So your relationship style really influences your success at work. So that's interesting. If you're having career issues, sometimes we look at the relationships. And then you have your career, right? And career goes very closely with Dharma. So career is the kind of work you do. Dharma is your life purpose. What are you here to do? And emotions. And then you have what do you do for fun to renew yourself when you're not working? And what is your relationship with children? So that could be your children or other children you play with. So the question, shall I have a child or not, sometimes comes in that area. And then there's your vital bodies. This is like your pranic body. So how do you deal with stress? How do you keep the energy flowing in your body? How do you boost your immune system? So there's a whole tendency there that's very interesting because that actually really has a large part. It's very important in your physical health, right? Because you could be really physically pretty balanced, but if you don't have enough energy and vitality, sometimes if you get sick, it's hard to get better. So we work a lot with vitality. Vitality also relates to your environment and feng shui. And then the last one, which is interesting, is your physical health, and that's also your marriage planet. So sometimes we look at how relationships shift when they become long-term relationships, right? Like marriage or just some form of long-term partnership. And we look at how we navigate that shift, right? You may have noticed, dating to moving in with someone, right? Sometimes it goes better, sometimes it doesn't go better. It's because these energies shift. And also your health. How's your health when you're living with someone or whether you're living alone? So it's kind of interesting how it all ties together. And it's funny because it is Ayurveda, actually. It's called ancient Ayurveda, where you look at the whole person. You don't just look at, what are you eating?
Yeah,
Because
yeah.
what's eating you is coming from all directions,
All
right?
things, and can you digest it? Can you stomach it? And we do look at diet, right? Because it is a part of it, but it's a part of it that's important when it's understood as a part of a whole. You could be eating all the right things, and then you could be doing a yoga practice that's not supporting it, right? Or, something, or just having a job that's not supporting it, or the other way around,
Yeah, guys, this is why I think everyone should have a reading with you. It's like if your spiritual practice, if something is saying that it should be reading or sitting quietly and you're doing a physical spiritual practice, you may think that you're supposed to be doing that. Or if you think you're supposed to be meditating, so you're meditating every day, right? Because you think it's what you're supposed to do, but your planets are telling you your spiritual practice is something else, then you could be doing something not really in your alignment because you think it's what you're supposed to do. And I think more often than not, at least my experience is when you hear that what your inner inclination is telling you, that maybe more of a bhakti, a devotional practice is right for you, or your practice is reading, that you can kind of affirm, right, empower yourself to say, oh, well, my practice isn't like everyone else's. And allow yourself to go deeply into the thing that is right for you. And that's such a beautiful thing. And I think the other thing you said just now too is like sometimes we don't see the connections, right? So like if something's off with work, it could have to do with relationship. And you're
So,
able to make these connections that I think that's why we need a teacher sometimes. I truly believe that if you want to go far on a spiritual path, you need a teacher.
it's just good to have someone to talk to. I mean, it really is. Someone who can step back and see the bigger picture, and all they're really doing is just very subtly shaping, like the, how the river's flowing, so it feels like you're going with the flow.
Yeah, that's how I feel. So, is there anything else that we didn't get to about Yansha that you want to share?
I don't know. I just was thinking more about the idea of it purifying your environment. The idea of sight. Sight as a spiritual tool. We don't think of the senses so much, but when you start to look into Ayurveda, we do start to think about the senses a lot. So I would like to just to have an invitation to think about the senses a bit more. Whether you have flowers in your home, the sense of sight, what kind of artwork you put in your home. Do you see enough nature? Just, in New York City especially, right, we're overwhelmed and bombarded with,
Yeah.
too much visual stimulation. Sometimes they say go and do yoga and do plow pose to recover, right? This is actually a Venus therapy because Venus is the planet of the senses. It's a Venus therapy for overstimulation of the senses. Imagine plow pose or even that one, with your knees, by your ears, right? You're totally negating the senses for a moment, so that then when you come out again, you use them more judiciously, right?
Yes,
You're not
yes.
like eating everything with your eyes, right? So I don't know. I was just feeling like maybe people just take a little moment to notice how they're using their sense of sight, and
Yeah, that's so important.
maybe just start to take a yantra out every now and then. It might help, and it helps to just bring things into alignment. Now, when you're doing your asana practice, you feel like you come into alignment, right? In your life, you feel very different at the beginning of your practice to the end of your practice. I think there's something about making the yantra where you feel like all the lines come into alignment and there's a sense of perfection, right? It doesn't mean the drawing is amazingly perfect, but there's some sense of perfection, just like there is at the end of doing your asana practice. So we were thinking about some kind of gift, right, to offer.
Yes.
Yeah. And I was thinking about offering the listeners a yantra that you could download so you could print it out. We're still going to feel it out a little bit, which one we're going to put out there for you. Anyway, if you download it and put it up, just start to notice what happens when you say hello to it every day. And I'm going to give you the bija mantra. So I'll give a sound. It's going to be very simple, like om or hreem or shreem or kreem or glom. And just see what happens when you start to have something visual. And maybe there'll also be an outline of the same yantra. This would be more helpful, I think, for some of you who like to be more active in your meditation. And then you could print that out also, like a PDF of the outlines, and start to color the yantra. So not only are you seeing it, but you're starting to feel what does it feel like to work with the shapes and the forms and to just get really quiet with the visual.
That's such a great gift. Thank you so
Thank you
much,
so
Sam.
much, Sarah.
I think that's going to help a lot of people. And I really relate to what you said about all this overstimulation. I talk a lot about that in my
Yeah, it's like the
teachings.
mind. Oh, do you?
Yeah, I talk a lot about I do a workshop called Train Your Brain, and we talk about the way that the brain filters information and the senses. And one of the things I talk about is, especially coming from being in New York, outside we don't have so much control, but in the home especially, I just really encourage people to look at their home and how they can make the home a more calming and supportive place. Because we have, few spaces that we can control. I've done this with my new home. It's just real stripped down, and I feel so peaceful here. So I encourage others to do the same. And every single thing we see, it has a little place in our brains, right?
It's funny because you're starting to call this work your sanctuary, right? So that's the idea. You get into your sanctuary in your home, and then it reminds you of your inner temple. The body is the temple, so the body of your home is also a temple. It's beautiful. It's really, really helpful.
Yeah, and I
I mean.
think, like you said, if you can look at your yantra and just spend a little time with it and come into that sanctuary, into that space, something does change. You become more able to take that with you as you go out into the world. And it's not even something you really try. It's just something that happens over time. Like you said, just working with the symbols over time, making that space for their influence to just to be, right?
It's fun. It's funny because what's funny? Sometimes I have clients and they tell me that their house is, first of all, they don't tell me the house is a mess, right? But first of all, they tell me that they're doing hours and hours, I can't tell you, of pranayama and yoga. Right now, pranayama especially is to do with the vital body and bringing peace to the vital body, right? The pranamaya kosha. And usually, if you're stressed, this is what you need to do, right? Work with the breath. And then I ask them how their house is. And then they say, oh, don't talk to me about my house. My house is a complete mess. So it's so interesting. I can't, it's literally 9 times out of 10, the people that do excessive amounts of this breathing and pranayama have a messy house. I mean, it's so interesting. And I said, listen, if you tidy your house a little bit and bring some feng shui, some balancing order to your house, You will not feel so stressed. You will not feel the need to spend so many hours in your day doing this breathing practice, right? Some is good, but 3 hours or whatever is too much. Most people. And then maybe you'd have more time for relationships. I mean, it's so interesting. Back to this whole chart thing again. Then they maybe their career will go better and their relationships and this and this and this and that. But I wanted to say that that was just from this one small point that we started with, which was just to clear your visual space around you in your environment and make it beautiful. Just beautiful to you, right? Beautiful to you is going to be different to beautiful to me. I might like more stuff and you might like less stuff. But just have it beautiful. Have it so you can think clearly. Have it so you don't feel stressed the minute you come in. And it really makes a huge difference in your whole life. And I really feel like if you just put a couple of yantras up on the wall, then that already starts to elevate the energy in your living space. So there's something very magical about having them in your space.
And is it okay to combine any of the yantras or should
Yeah,
certain ones?
you
Okay.
can. But honestly, they're so intense, you probably don't want too many up at once. You probably feel like you can have one here and one there, and that's enough, you know? So it's one of those things that you put them up and you start to feel like it doesn't like being on that wall. Oh, it really likes being on this wall. You know, it's like they do have a little bit of a conversation with you. But you can mix them for sure. And you'll just notice if it's too intense to have it in the bedroom, maybe that one goes in the other room. Maybe you need the more peaceful one in the bedroom. They really have a personality and you'll just feel which one and you know you're meant to have where.
Yes, symbols are very strong, and even now there's a lot of science about it. As I said, I do this train your brain and talk about
Yeah.
how we think and read even in symbols. So it's,
Interesting.
yeah, it's very
I have to
primal.
take a train the brain. Yeah.
Anytime, anytime. I hope I get to see you in person soon.
Yeah, I'll be coming soon.
So let people know again. We're going to post this all on the site, but how they can find you.
Well, most of this information is on my website, which is yantrabliss.com. Yantra bliss is one word. And you'll see it easily. Under offerings, you'll see about the Ayurvedic readings and the Yantra painting workshops and classes. And there's a store on the website, and the store has links to books and prints. So that's one thing you can get inexpensively is prints of the Yantras if you want to start working with them too at home. And there's more blog things like that coming.
Good, good. I mean, I can't get enough of you. And thank you so much for offering gift to everyone. I think we're going to also do a little discount on some readings. I'm telling everyone I know that they really should do a reading with you. And the card deck, I'm really, really excited about that. So I'll be getting mine as soon as they come out. And maybe we'll get a couple for the studio to put out. Actually, I think that just
Great.
came
Yeah,
to.
have them in the store along with the juices.
Yeah, let's do that for sure. Because I think me people really need more exposure to yantra
Yeah.
and working with yantra.
Yeah.
Sarah, you're incredible. You're such a gift. I'm so glad we connected.
Thank you so much for inviting me to do this.
And we'll keep in touch.
Yeah, that sounds great. All right, let me know how you're getting on with your moon too. We'll have to have a little follow-up on that soon.
Okay, I'm gonna go sit with it now.
All right. Thanks, Laura.
Bye.
Bye.
Color.
So hi. So we're back, and
Okay.
what we're gonna do with the pausing. Let me know if I have to pause.
Perfect. Okay. And how do you say your name? Tomlinson?
Tomlinson, yeah.
Tomlinson. Okay. So I'm here with Sarah Tomlinson. And Sarah, what would you call yourself? Do you have a title?
Well, I think I've coined a title, Yantrika. There's a saying for tantrics that they're called tantrikas. So I figured somebody who works with yantras is probably a yantrika.
Yantrika, I like that. It's very rare what you do, isn't it? I don't think yantra is something that's really hit the popular yoga market yet.
Yeah, it's true. It's kind of like there's yoga, then there's mantras, right? Mantras and chanting only came into the yoga world a few years ago in such popularity, right? With Krishna Das and things like that. So I feel like it's on the heels of mantras, you know? And it's funny because yantras come from mantras, so it's interesting.
Okay, so I want you to explain more about that. What exactly is a yantra? What makes a yantra?
Well, you may have seen yantras around. They're a series of geometric shapes contained within a square form, and they actually come from mantras. They're said to be visual forms of a sound vibration. So there's one yantra for every mantra.
So when you're chanting a mantra, especially, I guess you mean a seed mantra?
It could be either. It could be a whole long mantra, or it could be a seed sound. Yes, if preferably you'd be looking at the corresponding yantra. If you do both, it balances the left and right hemispheres of your brain.
Wow, that's incredible. So how do you know which yantra goes with which mantra?
Well, that's when you need a teacher, I think, or a good book. Any book on yantras is going to have corresponding mantras with it.
So you get the power from looking at the yantra, but I know you also teach people how to create their own yantras.
Yeah, you can work with them in two ways. I guess they're visual meditations. And one is a meditation that's more contemplation, where you're looking at the yantra. You're looking at the center of the yantra, and you're relating to the energy in the yantra. And it's a peaceful meditation with your eyes open, right? So that's different to a meditation where you have your eyes closed. It's somewhat active. You're engaging the sense of sight, right? It's a way of purifying the sense of sight. So it's to do with working with the senses. And the other way you could work with it is by making it yourself. And then there's more of an activity, right? It's a mindful activity. So the activity of drawing, breathing, maybe coloring, painting, all focused around the energy or meaning of that specific yantra. Because every yantra has its own meaning and quality. So you may be needing something. Usually you're drawn to the one you need, right? There's a few different ways that we choose which yantra to work with. And the easiest way is just to see a selection of yantras, and you just go with the one you're drawn to. You know, do you like the red one? Do you like the grouping of triangles? Do you like the circles? Which one is calling you? Usually that's the one that embodies the quality that you need to work with at the moment. Mm-hmm. And then making it, you infuse the process of making it with your intention. You know, why are you making it? And so it kind of comes to life in this, crystallized in this form, which you then go ahead and do some seated meditation with. So it's like a two-part process.
Wow, that's beautiful. And how do the colors figure in? Do each yantras have specific colors, or can you do the same yantra with different colors?
There are some universal yantras that seem like the colors could be anything, but mostly the yantras do have specific colors. It's almost like the vibration of the sound quality, it gives colors and it gives shapes. So it was said in the beginning there were these rishis, right? Rishis are celestial beings, kind of like saints, but a little even more celestial. They were said to have one foot in the earth realms and one foot in the celestial realms. So they gave us these teachings, and they gave the shapes and the colors. Like, for example, there are planetary mantras and yantras, right? So one that we can all relate to would be something like Mars. And Mars is the passionate, dynamic planet of like war, passion, focus, direction. So there's this red triangle and upward pointing, like for focus. And so it's kind of interesting. It has that energy, it has that shape. And even the planet Mars is kind of reddish, right? Yeah. So that one's like an easy one to kind of talk about because it has this red quality. But most of them have a very specific color palette that you use. And it's to do with the relationship of either the planet or the deity. And yantras are always relating to either a planet or a deity. And sometimes you can see the connection. So there's another one, a good example would be Saturn. Saturn is the planet, and its color is blue-black. And the deity that's connected to Saturn is Kali, or some aspect of Kali. So this mother goddess is like Kali. So oftentimes when we're coloring Kali, we would be using a blue-black palette. So there's some planetary influence, you know, to the color palette. So it is kind of interesting because some of them have a similar shapes, but it's the colors that differentiate them. Mm-hmm. Others are very unique in their configuration of shapes.
It sounds quite complicated. You have the mantra it's connected to, the planet, the deity. That's like amazing. There are a lot of different parts. I could see why you would need a teacher.
Yeah, it's helpful to have a teacher, and then there are teachings, you know, there are teachings. Once you start exploring this world, there is quite a world of yantras out there. I feel like we're just kind of, you know, skimming the surface here.
Do the yantras relate to your chakras as well? I know certain mantras do.
Well, they can. They're not usually so specific. It's more subjective. Some people might say that Mars or Durga or, you know, relates to the first chakra, or Venus or the moon relates more to the heart. Some might say some deities are connected to chakras, right? Like Saraswati might be the fifth chakra expression. So I think it's a little more subjective. There are bija mantras, and you sometimes see chakra pictures with petals on them, but those are actually more artistic representations of chakras. They're not actually ancient yantras usually.
Oh, that's good to know. With all this information out there, it is good to have some perspective on that, right? What is suggested and what is really like traditionally, you know, linked in some kind of real root tradition. So I want to ask you a little bit more about the planets, because you did a reading on me.
Mm-hmm.
And you suggested a yantra for me. So this is a whole nother aspect of working with yantra that I didn't know about. I didn't know you did. So tell me a little bit about it. How did you come to create my reading and suggest the yantra you did, which was the moon yantra?
Yes. So one way that we use yantras and mantras, and this is more specifically planetary, there's an ancient system of astrology. It's based on a Jain system of astrology where we look at the planets in the different areas of your life. And so you get a kind of Ayurvedic life reading, right? And this is one way I determine which yantras are going to be good for someone. So maybe you have a question, and then I draw up this chart. It's like an ancient kind of astrological chart. And then based on your question, it's always based on questions. Very interesting. It's like, it's no point me just telling you something because you might not be interested, right? You're not going to do the thing if you're not ready to hear what I have to say, right? Mm. So you're going to be ready to hear what I have to say based on your question. So this is one thing I really learned over the years of counseling, like wait for the questions. So I waited for your question and to see what was going on. And it seemed like your questions were about feeling good, about moving forward in the way you were working, right? And being valued and having the work valued in society so that it could be shared, distributed, right? So you could really share the teachings that you're doing so beautifully, right? And the planet you had for your Dharma, Dharma is a very specific part of this reading we look at, which is to do with your life purpose. You had the moon there. So I felt like, I think even this phase, you were in the moon phase. And so for now, to really harness that energy of the moon and to work with the cycles and the phases, like the new moon, the full moon, and to really feel your life purpose, to feel what you're here to be doing, if you put that moon yantra in your environment, it's going to purify not only your external environment, right, the one you're living in or working in, but also your inner emotional environment. So just like a mantra really affects your vibratory body, right, your chakras, your nadis, it really purifies you from the inside. So in the same way, putting that yantra there is going to just somewhat purify and shake up the energy within you to do with your emotions and your Dharma. So it's kind of, it's like an empowerment symbol, right? You put it there to remind you who you are. They're very primal images. Sacred geometry accesses a part of you that's beyond language, right? Just like asana does, just like mantra does, but beyond the part of the brain that's thinking about it, like thinking, doubting, am I this? Am I good enough? Can I really do it? Does anybody really care if I'm teaching or not? You know, all these like things, right? It speaks to the part of you that knows who you are. And there's just something about the primal nature of symbols that speaks to you in that way. So that's how I determined it with you, right? Now, it could be different if you came to a workshop and you just had never done a reading and you just looked at the yantras, which one am I drawn to? It's nice to make a yantra from scratch. It's nice also just to work with it and to talk about it with somebody. I like these readings. The readings are a nice way to see how all the different symbols and shapes is kind of taking place in your life, which one you might be drawn to, which one might be helpful. And it's a tool, because you can have a counseling session and at the end you can be, okay, that was great, but now I've got to get back to my life. You know, it's nice to have a symbol to kind of carry through the energy and to really strengthen that area of your life.
The reading was incredible. I mean, I told you this already, but I had no idea that you did that or that aspect of of working with Yantra, and I was blown away by how much you were able to tell me about myself. And it was more of, it wasn't like one of these readings, I want to say this so people are listening, like, you know, what is my future, or where you think, what you think it's going to be like when you go to like a palm reader or something. It, to me, it was more of a sort of an affirmation of things that I know about myself to be true. And sort of hearing someone say that out loud and affirm it, it really helped me get to the next level of like being okay with and owning who I am, as it's like this truth that's, you know, written in the planets.
Right.
And so go with it. Right.
Right. Yeah. You're unique. Right. So to have that affirmed is like, okay, I don't have to keep questioning it, second guessing it. I'm not that person over there. I'm me, you know? And so it lets you celebrate you. Now it's funny because I think of the yantras as empowerment symbols, but I guess just from what you're saying, the reading is a little bit of an empowerment reading in that way, right? You settle into you, and that's like, that takes the least effort, right? It takes a lot of effort to be somebody else. Isn't that something from the Gita? Like, do your own job, you know, don't do somebody else's job, you know, be you. So it's hard to be you really, but you have to listen, and all these practices get all the other voices of who you're not out of the way a little bit, right? So you can hear clearly. So yeah, reading like this is just kind of brightening your sense of yourself.
Yeah, it definitely did that for me. I think there is this balance between, you know, trying to be our best self and then also being who we are. So sometimes it gets confusing as we try to be what we think a better version would be. Maybe it's not, you know. So I don't know. Those are some ideas that I think about. And definitely since the reading, I've seen a real shift. I really have. And you went into all different aspects. You know, you did the career, and we talked a little bit about relationship. We talked about all different things. And one question that I had that actually, because I've been talking about you to everyone since then, I really found it powerful. That someone had asked me and I wanted to ask you was that a chart reading like a sort of permanent fixture, or will the planets move into a different space during a different phase in my life? And so therefore, should we have multiple readings?
Well, the basic information I gave you always stays the same, because we have these archetypes, these eight archetypes when we're born, right? It's based on birth time. So that is like the primary tendencies. For example, your moon is always going to be in that place, right? Your spiritual path is always going to be the place it is. Your physical health is always going to be governed by that thing. However, there are cycles that the planets go in as in which is going to be the most dominant for you at one time. So I'm sitting here, I can also see your chart, and you are in that moon phase, which is interesting, right? Because you were talking about all the moon things, and you have your moon yantra. So the phases will change, and depending on the planet, some phases change really slowly. You know, it could be 10, 20 years. Some could change every 2 or 3 years. So oftentimes, I don't really do follow-up readings to see how much the planets are changing. It's more to do with how are you processing the information and what's going on with you now, and it's more like an ongoing counseling session with this information.
Yeah, you left me with some just some strong ideas to take with me daily, you know, some questions to ask myself in all situations during the day, really like a counselor.
Yeah, it's very interesting. It's just a different kind of counseling, and feeling like you've been heard. You didn't have to have 20 years of therapy to get to that point, right? So now that you feel like you've been heard in this way, sometimes you just might want to check in and say, this is going on. You know, I'm having stress here. This is going well. You know, how can I manage this period of stress, you know, given my archetypes, right? And so usually we'll look at the whole eight areas again, and we'll just use the stronger qualities to help lift up the energy in the area that's stressed. So for example, if you're stressed out, you know, about your health, maybe we'll focus on your spiritual life a little bit, and that'll help you get a new relationship with your health. Or if you're stressed out with your work, maybe we'll develop the area of relationships and fun to energize the area at work. So it depends, actually. It depends, right? We don't know. So everybody's different, but it's a creative way of seeing the whole being to really help and lift up the area that feels challenged at that moment, which is usually more to do with conditioning and lifestyle than honestly any kind of crystal ball I'm looking at, right? So that's why it's the question, again, the thing of questions. I have to hear what your question is to see how this can be helpful. And it's very nourishing, and it feels nourishing on all of these other levels, these subtle levels.
Yeah, sorry, you are definitely really, really good at what you do, and it feels very natural the way you worked with me, the way you encouraged me to ask questions, and I don't even know what to call it. You're extremely in tune, and I appreciated getting to work with you. I know we'll work together again. It was unlike anything I've seen.
I
Really
think
was.
something about just working with the yantras over all these years. I've painted these yantras for so many years, like over 20 years, I've been painting and painting and painting. I feel like they've given me some understanding about these archetypes in a way that is just like I'm sort of in tune with them now. Almost like if I don't think too hard about it, I have a sense of it. So that's also given me a lot of confidence about working with the yantras, I feel
Yeah.
like they've just awoken some cosmic intelligence. It's not really me, there's just something that comes when I'm working with people. So we were thinking, so it's nice to have ways to work with yantras at home. I'm working on this card deck at the moment, and I'm doing that so that people can have yantras in their home, right? It's going to be like a slightly large playing deck of cards. And so every day you could choose one and put it out like a little focal point for your meditation. And then just by looking at it, you'll start to learn about the qualities of it. There's a few words about each one, but it's more about just sitting with the yantras. You'll learn about the qualities about yourself and about the yantras through looking at them. So that's one thing I'm working on, which probably your readers, listeners will be really interested in, because now we're talking about these yantras, people probably want to have a look at them. And the other thing is I'm working on a coloring book so that also you can do the doing the coloring, and you learn about all the meanings of all the different yantras when you go through each one in the coloring book. And then you were asking me earlier, before this, about how could people make their own yantra. And you can take workshops. There are a few people around who had the same teacher as I did, Harish Johari. Right? He was from India, but he traveled a lot in Europe and America. So he did teach people the method of, it's kind of like a step-by-step method for drawing yantras. It's a very beautiful process, very quieting process, just the making. And so you could look out for a yantra workshop. I teach them. And also, I have a book. I have a book on how to make yantras.
Oh,
So
what's the book? Tell
the book, yeah, the book plug is called Nine Designs for Inner Peace.
Oh, and you know I have that book.
Oh, you have it, yes.
Yes.
I'll sign it next time I see you.
Yes.
Yeah. So that's a great book because it's about the nine planets, right? So just by doing each of the ones in the book, you feel like you've balanced your, inner cosmos.
And they said nine planets, and it was. Is it nine elements also that you look at?
Well, there's eight areas because two of the
Eight.
planets act as a pair. Rahu and Ketu are a pair.
Ah, wow.
So that becomes eight groups.
Can you tell us those eight?
Are the planets?
The eight elements that you look into when you do the
Ah,
reading.
oh, I see. Well, there's two things. It's sort of like you pair up the planets and the eight areas of life. So were you asking me about the eight areas of life?
Yes.
Yeah. So there's the spiritual nature. That's the main thing you look at, right? That influences everything. Are you gonna, what's your spiritual practice gonna be, right? Is it gonna be physical? Is it gonna be silent? Is it gonna be reading? Is it gonna be drawing? Is it gonna be being an adventurer, a rebel? Then there's your desire nature. That's like a stepping stone on your spiritual path. Then there's the relationship area. How do you relate to the world? And also, how do you relate with dating? Right, dating, and also how do you relate at work? So your relationship style really influences your success at work. So that's interesting. If you're having career issues, sometimes we look at the relationships. And then you have your career, right? And career goes very closely with Dharma. So career is the kind of work you do. Dharma is your life purpose. What are you here to do? And emotions. And then you have what do you do for fun to renew yourself when you're not working? And what is your relationship with children? So that could be your children or other children you play with. So the question, shall I have a child or not, sometimes comes in that area. And then there's your vital bodies. This is like your pranic body. So how do you deal with stress? How do you keep the energy flowing in your body? How do you boost your immune system? So there's a whole tendency there that's very interesting because that actually really has a large part It's very important in your physical health, right? Because you could be really physically pretty balanced, but if you don't have enough energy and vitality, sometimes if you get sick, it's hard to get better. So we work a lot with vitality. Vitality also relates to your environment and feng shui. And then the last one, which is interesting, is your physical health, and that's also your marriage planet. So sometimes we look at how relationships shift when they become long-term relationships, right? Like marriage or just some form of long-term partnership. And we look at how we navigate those that shift, right? You may have noticed, dating to moving in with someone, right? Sometimes it goes better, sometimes it doesn't go better. It's because these energies shift. And also your health. How's your health when you're living with someone or whether you're living alone? So it's kind of interesting how it all ties together. And it's funny because it is Ayurveda, actually. It's called ancient Ayurveda, where you look at the whole person. You don't just look at, what are you eating?
Yeah, because
Yeah.
what's hitting you is coming from all directions,
All
right?
things, and can you digest it? Can you stomach it? And we do look at diet, right? Because it is a part of it, but it's a part of it that's important when it's understood as a part of a whole. You could be eating all the right things, and then you could be doing a yoga practice that's not supporting it, right? Or, something. Or having a job that's not supporting it, or the other way around,
Yeah, guys, this is why I think everyone should have a reading with you. It's like if your spiritual practice, if something is saying that it should be reading or sitting quietly and you're doing a physical spiritual practice, you may think that you're supposed to be doing that. Or if you think you're supposed to be meditating, so you're meditating every day, right? Because you think it's what you're supposed to do, but your planets are telling you your spiritual practice is something else. Then you could be doing something not really in your alignment because you think it's what you're supposed to do. And I think more often than not, at least my experience is when you hear that what your inner inclination is telling you, that maybe more of a bhakti, a devotional practice is right for you, or your practice is reading, that you can kind of affirm, right, empower yourself to say, oh, well, my practice isn't like everyone else's. And allow yourself to go deeply into the thing that is right for you. And that's such a beautiful thing. And I think the other thing you said just now too is like sometimes we don't see the connections, right? So like if something's off with work, it could have to do with relationship. And you're
So,
able to make these connections that I think that's why we need a teacher sometimes. I truly believe that if you want to go far on a spiritual path, you need a teacher.
yeah, it's good to have someone to talk to. I mean, it really is. Someone who can step back and see the bigger picture, and all they're really doing is just very subtly shaping, like the how the river's flowing, So it feels like you're going with the flow.
Yep, that's how I feel. So, is there anything else that we didn't get to about Yansha that you want to share?
I don't know. I just was thinking more about the idea of it purifying your environment. The idea of sight. Sight as a spiritual tool. We don't think of the senses so much, but when you start to look into Ayurveda, we do start to think about the senses a lot. So I would like to just to have an invitation to think about the senses a bit more. Whether you have flowers in your home, the sense of sight, what kind of artwork you put in your home. Do you see enough nature? Yeah, just in New York City especially, right? We're overwhelmed and bombarded with, too much visual stimulation. Sometimes they say go and do yoga and do plow pose to recover, right? This is actually a Venus therapy because Venus is the planet of the senses. It's a Venus therapy for overstimulation of the senses. Imagine plow pose or even that one, with your knees, by your ears, right? You're totally negating the senses for a moment. So then when you come out again, you use them more judiciously, right? You're not like eating everything with your eyes, right? So I don't know. I was just feeling like maybe people just take a little moment to notice how they're using their sense of sight. And
I think that's so important.
maybe just start to take a yantra out every now and then. It might help. And it helps to just bring things into alignment. Now, when you're doing your asana practice, you feel like you come into alignment, right? In your life. You feel very different at the beginning of your practice to the end of your practice. I think there's something about making the yantra where you feel like all the lines come into alignment and there's a sense of perfection, right? It doesn't mean the drawing is amazingly perfect, but there's some sense of perfection just like there is at the end of doing your asana practice. So we were thinking about some kind of gift, right, to offer?
Yes.
Yeah. And I was thinking about offering the listeners a yantra that you could download. So you could print it out. We're still going to feel it out a little bit, which one we're going to put out there for you. Anyway, if you download it and put it up, just start to notice what happens when you say hello to it every day. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to give you the bija mantra. So I'll give a sound. It's going to be very simple, like om or hreem or shreem or cream or glom. And just see what happens when you start to have something visual. And maybe there'll also be an outline of the same yantra. This would be more helpful, I think, for some of you who like to be more active in your meditation. And then you could print that out also, like a PDF of the outlines, and start to color the yantra. So not only are you seeing it, but you're starting to feel, what does it feel like to work with the shapes and the forms and to just get really quiet with the visual?
That's such a great gift. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much, Sarah.
I think that's going to help a lot of people. And I really relate to what you said about all this overstimulation. I talk a lot about that.
It's like the mind. Yeah.
I talk a lot about I do a workshop called Train Your Brain. And we talk about the way that the brain filters information and the senses. And you know, one of the things I talk about is, especially coming from being in New York, you know, outside, we don't have so much control, but in the home, especially, I just really encourage people to look at their home and how they can make the home a more calming and supportive place.
Because we
have, you know, few spaces that we can control. And, you know, I've done this with my new home. It's just real stripped down, and I feel so peaceful here. So I encourage others to do the same. And every single thing we see, it has a little place in our brains, right?
It's funny because you're starting to call this work your sanctuary, right? So that's the idea. You get into your sanctuary in your home, and then it reminds you of your inner temple, you know, the body is the temple. So the body of your home is also a temple, you know. Yeah, it's beautiful. It's really, really helpful.
Yeah, and I think, like you said, if you can look at your yantra and just spend a little time with it and come into that sanctuary, into that space, something does change. You become more able to take that with you as you go out into the world. And it's not even something you really try. It's just this is something that happens over time. Like you said, just working with the symbols over time, making that space for their influence to be, right?
Yeah. Yeah, it's fun. It's funny because, you know what's funny? Sometimes I have clients and they tell me that their house is, first of all, they don't tell me the house is a mess, right? But first of all, they tell me that they're doing hours and hours, I can't tell you, of pranayama and yoga. Right now, pranayama especially is to do with the vital body and bringing peace to the vital body, right? The pranamaya kosha. And usually if you're stressed, this is what you need to do, right? Work with the breath. And then I ask them how their house is. And then they say, oh, don't talk to me about my house. My house is a complete mess. So it's so interesting. I can't, you know, it's literally 9 times out of 10, the people that do excessive amounts of this breathing and pranayama have a messy house. I mean, it's so interesting. And I said, listen, if you tidy your house a little bit and bring some feng shui, you know, some balancing order to your house, you will not feel so stressed. You will not feel the need to spend so many hours in your day doing this breathing practice, right? Some is good, but 3 hours or whatever is too much, most people. And then maybe you'd have more time for relationships. I mean, it's so interesting. Back to this whole chart thing again. Then maybe their career will go better and their relationships and this and this and this and that. But I wanted to say that that was just from this one small point that we started with, which was just to clear your visual space around you and your environment and make it beautiful. Just beautiful to you, right? Beautiful to you is going to be different to beautiful to me. I might like more stuff and you might like less stuff. But just have it beautiful. Have it so you can think clearly. Have it so you don't feel stressed the minute you come in. And it really makes a huge difference in your whole life. And I really feel like if you just put a couple of yantras up on the wall, then that already starts to elevate the energy in your living space. So there's something very magical about having them in your space.
And is it okay to combine any of the yantras?
You can. But honestly, they're so intense, you probably don't want too many up at once. You probably feel like you can have one here and one there, and that's enough, you know? So it's one of those things you put them up and you start to feel like it doesn't like being on that wall. Oh, it really likes being on this wall. You know, it's like they do have a little bit of a conversation with you. But you can mix them for sure. And you'll just notice if it's too intense to have it in the bedroom, maybe that one goes in the other room. Maybe you need the more peaceful one in the bedroom. They really have a personality and you'll just feel which one, you know, you're meant to have where.
Yes, symbols are very strong, and you know, even now there's a lot of science about it. As I said, I do this train your brain and talk about how we think and read even in symbols. So it's,
Interesting.
yeah, it's very
I have to
primal.
take a train the brain. Yeah.
Anytime, you know, anytime. I hope I get to see you in person soon.
Yeah, I'll be coming soon.
So yeah, so let people know again. We're gonna post this all on the site, but how they can find you.
Well, most of this information is on my website, which is yantrabliss.com. Yantra bliss is one word. And you'll see it easily. Under offerings, you'll see about the Ayurvedic readings and the Yantra painting workshops and classes. And there's a store on the website, and the store has links to books and prints. So that's one thing you can get inexpensively is prints of the Yantras if you want to start working with them too at home. And there's more blog things like that coming.
Good, good. I mean, I can't get enough of you. And thank you so much for offering gift to everyone. I think we're gonna also do a little discount on some readings. I'm telling everyone I know that they really should do a reading with you. And the card deck, I'm really, really excited about that. So I'll be getting mine as soon as they come out. And maybe we'll get a couple for the studio to put out. Actually, I think that just
Great.
came
Yeah,
to.
have them in the store along with the juices.
Yeah, let's do that for sure. Because I think people really need more exposure to Yantra
Yeah.
and working with Yantra.
Yeah.
Sarah, you're incredible. You're such a gift. I'm so glad we connected.
Thank you so much for inviting me to do this.
And we'll keep in touch.
Yeah, that sounds great. All right, let me know how you're getting on with your moon too. We'll have to have a little follow-up on that soon.
Okay, I'm gonna go sit with it now.
All right. Thanks, Laura.
Bye.
Bye.